Some people see the acorn. Some people see the oak tree. The oak tree is an acorn in seed form. The acorn is the potential. I'll leave that alone. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Can you say responsibility? You have a responsibility. Some people have more responsibilities, but we all have responsibility. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. I'm reading from the King James Version on purpose. Took his talents. He delivered this man was traveling in a far country. He called his servants and he delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. A talent weighed about 75 pounds. One talent. I'm not that great at math. How many is 5? What's 5 times 75? Oh, I got a calculator. I got a calculator, y'all. I had one on my 5C. 375. This is not a 5C. It's a 10. I have been amazed at what I've been missing out on. But when I went to T-Mobile, I'm so silly sometimes. When I walked in, I said, "Where's Catherine?" My wife gets it. I said, "Catherine Zeta." I heard somebody say Zeta Jones. Okay. But I was so proud when I walked in with my 5C. I was like, and the guy started looking at our phones. He's like, "Did it? Did it? Did it?" 5C. He knew them by. I guess he had dealt with so many. I said, "When's the last time you saw one of them?" I was proud. And he said, "Probably 6 months to a year." And I said, "Look how clean that screen is." He said, "It is in pretty good shape to be so old and antiquated." And I thought I was doing good. I was relishing in the pride of walking in with an antique because I qualified for everything. What, honey? Oh, it was a $7 trade-in. I thought it was that good. A little old man came walking in there with a flip phone, busting my bubble, and he said, "I need to buy some more minutes." I said, "Man, he beats my story big time." So anyway, that was funny to me. So what's going on here? What did you say, 375, Chuck? 375 pounds. So you got 3 servants here. He gives one of the servants 5 talents. He gives another servant 2 talents. You love to get used. And I gave another servant 1 talent. Well, you got your hands full. 1 talent. Each talent is worth about, it weighs about 75 pounds, but it's really has to do with money. 75 pounds worth of money. Whatever the money was, it was 75 pounds worth. If it were me, I wouldn't mind having 75 pounds worth of money, but I'd rather have 75 pounds worth of paper money than 75 pounds worth of metal money. You know, value. That would be pretty good. But I think we get it mixed up sometimes that because he gave the one 5 talents, and he gave the one 2 talents, and he gave the other 1 talent according to their several ability. He didn't say that he gave it to this one because he did great, or he gave it to that one because it wasn't that it was all they could do or all they could hold, but it's all they had time for. It's all that could be added to them properly because he was giving it to them. So, I mean, you might could reverse that a little bit to say he gave this one five times because he had more time on his hand. Do you see what I'm... It wasn't like he needed something else to do. See, the one that got one talent, in my eyes, I see somebody so busy they can only take on one more thing. See how I'm looking at that just a little bit? Does that twist anybody's brain just a little bit? Good. Because I just want to give them a chance. I'm not saying something that's fact here. I'm just saying the way I look at it. I try to look at things a little bit differently. So God, there's times that God will give you more to do because you got more time to do with. And there are times that God will give you less because you've already got a lot on your plate. Those are the times when you're going to feel like taking what God has given you and tabling it. And that's where the trouble comes from. That's where it comes from. How many of you know that God's got something for you to do? Let me draw a picture of you then. I'm not even going to use my board. There's the you that you want to be, and the you that you feel called to, and then there's the you that you know that you are. Did I draw anybody like a Picasso? But that middle part, that great gulf between the two, who I know I'm supposed to be and who I know that I really am, there's a whole lot of frustration right there. A whole lot of excuse making right there. Do you know that God wants you to be there? He wants you to be that productive. And I believe that there are people in this room that God has been prodding and prodding and prodding. And now he's demanding a response. I see things stepping up to a point in your life where things are going to start bursting forth. Because we are really supposed to live there and not always down here. We are not supposed to go through this life frustrated all the time when we have a God that says, I will supply all of your need. He's created with us with a need to do something. Because if he was, this is a picture of God here. He did, okay, so he had somebody he gave five to. So he looked at them and said, I'm giving them five. There was a reason he decided. There's another one that he gave two to because he looked at their situation and decided they can handle two. And then he looked at the one. There's a reason he only gave them one. I believe you fit in there somewhere. Because it doesn't mention anybody else. It doesn't mention the fourth man that he went and looked at, and he said, he looked at that guy and he gave him nothing. I believe God's given everybody something. And I believe at times, as you prove, he gives more. And the scripture proves that. Because God expects not just production in your life. He expects production and completion of a thing. So that he can reevaluate you and give you more. How come the principles of God work all in the world, but we don't use them in the church? That amazes me, and it blows my mind that the world, and the Bible calls it the wisdom of the world, it operates in order. We have no problem with that. But try to bring order into a church. I'm glad I pastor here and y'all are nice and you know I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to, I got to get that out of my pocket. It's bothering me. I used to work for a guy. Every time he'd talk, his hand would rattle those keys around. I feel like I was just him. You ever been around a key rattler? According to his several ability, to every man he gave according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received, in other words, he left them. He left them to do their thing. Do you remember when Jesus had just got through feeding the 5,000 and his disciples were in on it? And the Bible says, immediately he made them get into a boat while he dissembled the crowd and told them to go to the other side. So Jesus actually sent his disciples without his presence. Without his presence. So it was Jesus that sent them, but Jesus in his physical form was absent from them, while Jesus' presence, form of his presence, physical form, stayed there. He sent them away. Have you ever felt like God sent you away and then you're like, well, where's God? Where's Jesus? He just did an incredible miracle and they were in on it. That's Sunday morning. And then he sends them away for a while. And they're wondering where he is. Oh, man, I don't want to get into that story. But even when Jesus did come to them and a storm came. Remember that? The storm came and Jesus came walking on the water. They didn't recognize him. They had just got through eating with him. You and your husband, Jonna, and your beautiful daughter came to our house the other week. They brought a meal with them. I love when people come to my house. I love it even more when they bring food. There's no way they could have shown up any time in the night. I would have thought, it's Jonna and Eric. I know them. I just saw them a few hours ago. It's the same situation with the disciples. They forgot. Except Peter. Peter called out and said, Jesus, if it's you, if it's you, if by the chance it sounds, I hear, if it's you, tell me to come. Just say, come, bid me to come. Remember, Jesus said, come. That's all he said, one word. Peter got down out of the boat. That's, I said, I can't take time to preach. But to come to your place of security and step down sometimes, that can be hard. But Jesus said, come, one word. There's a question I have to stop right there and ask. Is one word enough from Jesus for you? And it said when Peter saw the wind, didn't it say, I mean, I'm not reading it right out of the Bible, but I'm remembering, I believe it said when Peter saw the wind. Okay, watch this. I have in my hand a handful of wind. I'm going to throw it all the way over there. And I'm going to hit David Morgan Sr. in the head with it. Terry saw it. He got out of the way. Point is, you can't see the wind, right? The Bible said he saw the wind. He saw the effects of the wind. Didn't say he lost his vision. Remember, he started to sink. He started to sink. He didn't lose his vision. What he lost was his focus. So Sal wasn't going to preach all that, but I'm going to come back to this now. It's possible that you know it's Jesus and you've heard his voice, but you haven't lost your vision. You've just lost focus. Likewise, verse 16, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. See, the talent was money. The talent was also, can be translated as bearing. So I believe if it's somebody handed me 75 pounds, that I would be bearing something, right? They were bearing that thing. So one had 375, one had 150 pounds of money, and one had 75 pounds of money. The one that had 75 pounds of money went and buried that. So he had received 5 talents, came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strowed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strowed. Do you know that God has sown some things in you? Stick around. Stick around. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. In other words, he said, at the very least, why'd you put it in the ground? It doesn't even gain interest in the ground. If you would have went and put it in a bank, at least I would have got some interest. At the very least, he's looking for some type of production. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Remember, he had 5 and he turned it into 10. See, there are some people that have looked at this like when he said, you've been faithful in a lot of things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Like his life is over. Not so. That it's not saying that their life is over. It didn't say, now the reward is heaven. The reward is more to do for God. You're not dead yet. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strowed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strowed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This church feels like a gift to me. I hope this church feels like a gift to you. If you attend a church that doesn't feel like a gift to you, you need to find another church. But if you find a church that is a gift to you, you need to unwrap the gift. Things have changed. I'm not saying this because I went to a conference. It's a wonderful conference. I'm not saying this about that at all. At all. My wife and I have been saying things have changed because in our life and in our home, I promise you, everything has changed. Preach, buddy. It's changed, hasn't it? And now you're here. How could that be wrong? If loving you is right, I don't want to be wrong. No, I mean, I did. If loving you is right. I don't want to be right. Yeah. See, it's not what I say, it's what I meant. And y'all are listening so well. Can I be transparent? In other words, I'm getting ready to tell you something about me that I might not have told you. And I didn't ask my wife for permission. So y'all want to hear this? Okay, since I've got permission, don't get mad at me when I tell you something and then at the end come back and tell me, Pastor, I can't believe you said that. You want to hear it or not? Still want to hear it? We're friends. It's not about you this time. This time, I'm saving those. If it gets quiet in here, I might pull one of those out. The Lord's decision to take Kenzie home, I just told him straight up, I don't agree. There it is right there. I'm just laying it out. Can I tell you this? I still don't agree. Who would? I mean, if I were to sit here and say, oh, I agreed. I knew it was the Lord's will, so I agreed with it. That guy's a weirdo. Somebody needs to get a sign and say, run. I'm just like you are. There's some things I could agree to and some things I can't. But because I know that He is everything, I had to follow that with this. God, I don't agree. But I do submit. Submission is obeying when you don't agree. How many of you have ever given your children a gift? How many of you have ever given them a special gift? How many of you grandparents have ever given your grandchildren a gift? How many of you grandparents have ever given your grandchildren a special gift? How many of you know that have received gifts that all gifts were not created equally? How many ever got socks at Christmas time? And all of a sudden you got... Come on, Dave, you need to step up your game. laughing about? So here's the thing. How many of you, when you opened up those socks, you got the revelation, this is not the present I was hoping for? I told the men this morning, we talked a little bit about this. I remember in the 70s when I was a kid, and they had these books of lifesavers. Did anybody ever get those books of lifesavers? And they always stuck together. And they got under your fingernails trying to separate them. And the best you could do was eat about three or four of them at one time. I mean, you had a claw that came out. And it was okay, but it wasn't great. And every time I got one of those books at Christmas time, it's like the preacher's kid. I was a preacher's kid. The preacher's kid, I'll get him a book of them lifesavers. He'll love them. Had a library. They lasted till the next year. They end up throwing them away. It's like the Bible talks about the salt that lost its saltiness. That candy had lost its candiness. I mean, look at me. I can appreciate candy, and I didn't even care. You got that one, didn't you, son? You talking about my weight? I walked into it. Okay, I'm going to go preach over here. Tend to your son. The gift. I knew that there were gifts. I learned the drill. I knew that there were gifts along the way that I was going to get. And I certainly hoped it led up to the gift that I wanted to get. There were little gifts that if I'd smile and act right, sooner or later, that one gift that really you could have just ended it right there. If my parents knew that, I would not have had to endure another pair of socks from my grandma, another package of underwear from my mama in front of everybody. You know what that meant? He blew his other ones out. Time for more. Even though they were needed along the way, it was so, I got so many things at Christmas that were needed along the way, but I didn't get them till Christmas. See, we didn't have a lot. We were more than poor. We were po. My dad trained us, when you hear the ice cream truck coming, if they're playing music, that means that they're out of ice cream. So they're just playing music. They're out of ice cream. I'm lying. That's a total lie. I actually heard somebody tell that this week, and I said, that is so hilarious. That is so funny. That was so funny to me because I... My neighbors, I'm serious, my neighbors owned the ice cream truck company. And every now and again, they would clean out their inventory, and they would call my mom and say, tell the kids to come get all these stuck-together boxes of ice cream that fell. They chiseled them things out of the freezer box, and those, and we would get them. I'd be so proud. I'd think, we're rich. We got the good stuff. I didn't care. The gift. For me, the gift, and you men are going to get this, and some of you boys might. It was a long rectangular box when I saw that. Oh, it was the second coming. It's like, oh, hallelujah. I know there ain't no underwear that's sold in the store in that kind of package. It's only one thing, BB gun. It's like this. And my parents never said, getting ready to give John the present. So anybody else want some more turkey? Anybody else need to cut grass? Go ahead and do that. We're just going to give John his gift. Now, this was big for them, too. Like, getting ready to give John his gift. And they all eyes on me. Because the big thing for them wasn't the BB gun. You know, you'll shoot your eye out. The big thing for them was the way I responded to the gift. It meant everything. It meant everything. I promise you this. If God gives you a gift, He's going to sit there and watch you because He wants to see how you unwrap it. How you unwrap it means everything. When it's that gift. The most insulting thing. Did you hear the story? Set it down. The most important thing. The most insulting thing was that they took the gift and didn't. Not even that he went and buried it. I mean, that's like you knew the rest of the story. It just got worse. But this gift that God gave, it didn't tear into it. I said this church is a gift. And people say this to me all the time. And our history has been at the place where we've been at some big places. I know what big is. I know what big church is. I was just at meetings where the first speaker had 63,000 views on Facebook. The next night speaker had 90-something thousand views. The last night speaker, 260-something thousand views. I am not trying to aspire to anything like that. I love them. I need to say that correctly. What happened was incredible. I'm not jealous. I am excited. I took part in a harvest. I saw the last thing that was said was souls. I saw that we had invested. It made me so excited. I dropped all of my opinions. And instead of having opinions about preachers, I prayed for preachers that are just men. That whatever they say would be like the words of the Lord to somebody that needed to hear what they said. I was a part of the most strategic planning I'd ever been a part of in my life. I don't care what you think about the men that spoke. I don't care. Please don't tell me that you've got an opinion about them. You've got a responsibility. Did you do that? Did you pray for the man? Stephen Furtick. He preached, he was brought there simply because the millennials love him. He's a mere man, but he has a platform to speak into their lives. So what do I pray? What did I tell y'all last week? What did Paul say? When Paul began to speak, he said, pray for me when I open my mouth that what I say will be like the Lord's voice. So, to break that down, pray for me when I open my mouth. When I open my mouth, I need prayer. Stephen Furtick did. I mean, that place is full of millennials. Rich millennials. They move out there because they've got these minds that they've taken these cyber things and just learned strategies to make incredible amounts of money. I walk the streets of a place where you cannot qualify for a loan of any house. The base salary in that area to qualify for a loan to get a house, guess how much it is? $330,000. We was po. And according to that, I'm still po. I just live in a different area of the country. You got that going on. I'm not saying that to say, ooh, it was ritzy, it was beautiful, it was wonderful. Yeah, it was all that. You know what comes with that before you want all that? All of a sudden you start realizing, I got everything I need. Why would I need a God? Now you know why you need to pray for a Stephen Furtick. He was there because of those millennials. I said it was strategic. T.D. Jakes was there because all the Christian world knows him. If you haven't seen it yet, we're running a seine through the waters. The last person to speak was Joel Osteen. Can I tell you that the church world acts like they hate Joel Osteen? You know why he was there? Because the world knows him. And I wish you could have heard what he talked about. He said this, I went to 1 year of Bible school. I was my dad's sound man. I was my dad's lighting man. I was my dad's production man. Behind the scenes, all I ever wanted to be. He knew that when he finally preached, he had turned his dad down all those years to preach. He finally even turned him down the first time he ever preached was the last sermon his dad ever heard on this earth, and it happened to be his son. He turned his dad down. He said, Dad, I'm not a preacher. I can't preach. He said, I heard a voice that said, preach this week. And at his dad's hospital bed, they held a phone to his dad's ear so he could hear his son preach. And that week, his dad died. And Joel Osteen said, I don't know it all, and I don't even know all my Bible. And at the end of his message, with all these preachers out there, he said, you know, it's where Paul said that thing about, y'all help me out. It's about being pressed, and all the preachers started quoting the verse for him. He just starts leading the choir. He was saying, I don't know it all. He also said, I'm learning things that I've been saying that they're not right biblically, and I'm going to change them. I'm going to change. I can handle correction. You know how refreshing that was to hear? Do you understand that we're talking about a God that doesn't wait till you got it all down, because he does? And he said this. He said, I forgot what he said. I'll come back to it. It was interesting. You were looking forward to that, weren't you? Like, yeah, I'll think of it. I know I will. But he was saying that, you know, he said, I am on my way to heaven. And when I get there, I'm going to stand before the Lord with a pure heart. And he said, I might not get it all right, but it won't be because I wasn't trying to. In other words, when I find scripture that shows me to, hey, Joel, you said it wrong. He said, my gift is not copying anybody. You know this, you're the best Fabian Schools there will ever be in this earth. Just be Fabian Schools, right? You're the best Amanda DiCarlo that there will ever be. Winner, just be that. You understand? I mean, just be released to be you. God's got you there for a purpose. But Joel Osteen said, I can't preach like these guys. I can't be like them at all. But I've always loved people. And one of the preachers beside me, you know what he said? He said, he's another big old guy. He said, I just want to go up there and hug him. I said, how could you not love that? That works. I mean, the other two guys, and T.D. Jakes, somebody likes preaching. I like preaching. I don't even know what all that stuff means. Deanya would know, but one got Stephen Furtick got 63,000 views for a couple hours, for an hour speaking. T.D. Jakes, I would have thought, you know that there were seats open in that place for Stephen Furtick? There were seats open for T.D. Jakes? Do that back east, it won't be that way at all. I've been to those places. I've seen those guys. But on the West Coast, every seat was taken. They had 1,000 seats out in the parking lot with a big screen. And you know what that little guy said, Joel Osteen? He's a little man. But he's so kind in his heart. He said, I got to do one more thing. He said, I can't tell you about Jesus without offering you an opportunity to accept him. And he preached Jesus and then gave them the opportunity. And I was right there I had two seats between me and the back of Joel Osteen's head. And I turned around and looked, and I just started seeing a sea of hands going up in that place. And I just began to weep. I said, that strategy is what it's all about. We just put a God net in the water and just pulled that thing across and gave them every opportunity instead of just one. And my pastor got up there he's all about souls. And he just wept and he said, I missed it. I missed it. He said, I didn't. Basically, all this planning, I hadn't seen this kind of souls get saved in one time. In other words, there are ways that we can be strategic about God. Come here, honey. You're looking at me kind of, what's he going to do? We know more than anybody what a gift this place is. We've been in a church where there are thousands of people. And if just one of y'all would have shown up. It's like it's so obvious what this building is full of. It's very strong support. Very strong. And you're stepping it up. If I mention one, I got to mention another and another and another. I see this. I see what has only been described. Because I've questioned God. I've questioned God about why did you let me see all of that? Why am I given a seat at this table? I've even asked the ones over me directly to the face, why am I here? And the Lord has shown me over and over that we have been hidden. We've not been buried. We've been planted. And there's a gift here. And now it's very important that we unwrap the gift. Mm-hmm. I think they expect, I've done my 30 minutes plus. It's time for your 2 minutes. And everybody's going to go, oh, Christine. I know you hate that, but it's the truth. Here it goes.
No, I think, it didn't really hit me until all this happened with Kinsey, but just being very transparent, you know, always, our whole life, our family has come first. And I think God gave us a precious church full of peace and unity and joy. Did you hear me say unity? 15 years ago, I would have given anything to have a church like this. This church has healed us from a lot of hurt from politics and stuff that is just like, why is this happening? This church is healing to us. We never get emails on Monday about this and that. Never. When we go to conferences, people don't complain. I'm like, no, they don't. And when they do have anything to say, it's with love. We never deal with that. We never deal with people fussing, arguing, being complaining about this or that or the other. It is all about wanting to go deeper with God. And I want you to know we appreciate and love that. And we believe that that is a narrow road. And I believe you're here because you are vested in that way of thinking. And you are vested in that commitment to unity and peace. But I will tell you, since our family came first, I believe God strategically allowed us to be in an incredibly healthy, wonderful, precious church, because that's what we had the capacity for, to still manage all of our family's needs. Okay, and that has changed. And again, it's not okay with me, but I submit to it. And there's not an ounce in my body that is angry with God. What he does is perfect, and I know that. He just has to heal me too. Okay? You chose it. I don't agree, but I submit. I obey you when I don't agree, and you will bring the healing. No doubt in my mind. There is so many good things waiting for us, John. There are things we never dreamed of that God is going to release into our church, into our life, into our family. I firmly believe that. And it takes this to get there. And I'm going to tell some of you are really close to giving up on things. Too much distraction, too much loss of focus, too many things that seem to always be coming. Do not give up, because that's what's qualifying you for the future. You're tired. I get it. Let me tell you right now. No, you see these eyes today? They're puffy, swollen because I cried myself to sleep last night. It's okay. I'm not frustrated with God. I don't hate him. I don't even question what he's done. I just hurt. Okay? So I'm telling you, whatever you're going through, don't give up on it prematurely. Because it will qualify you. This is qualifying us, unfortunately, to speak to a group of people that nobody else can speak to. And I pray to God none of you ever have that opportunity. Ever. I pray none of you do, but we do. And I want to see it as a gift, not as a noose around my neck. It's a gift that we're learning to unwrap. And there are challenges in your life that you're going to have to learn. They are a gift that you have to learn to unwrap. They don't come packaged like a gift, but that's okay. They are. The wind, he saw the repercussions of the wind, but that was just the byproduct. You're just seeing the byproduct. You're not seeing it for what it is. And I want to say this too, to this church. I'm being very transparent with you. I believe God called John and I to be shepherds. I don't think he called us to be the CEO of a huge organization. I think he called us to be shepherds. We love sheep. We love to teach sheep. We love to spend time with sheep. We love to rub oil on your sheep ears when you're hurting, when someone took a bite out of you. We like to do that. That's who God called us to be. But our weakness is that we are not great strategic leaders that have all kinds of things going on. And that's where we need the body. We need you to come alongside of our shepherd hearts and help us get the work done. It's just not a strength of ours to delegate and I'm not made like that. I'm made to do it. I'm made to just do it. And I believe God is going to release in our body gifts and callings on you. And don't wait for John and I to call them out. We need help. This church is growing. The last two Sundays, we've had to put chairs out two Sundays in a row. Our church is growing. And what that means is we need more structure. So I'm asking you to pray about where God wants you. It does me no good to say, we need somebody to do this. Amanda, will you do it? That's not what this is about. I can fill positions. But what we really want to do is have you function in what God's called you to do, for you to come to us and say, I'm telling you, if you feel passionate about something, I'll never have to remind you to do it or worry or follow up ever. And I don't want to call out names, but I will tell you, there are people in this church that Terry and Tammy, thank you for doing Care and Share, had a vision. We're going to call people together. We're going to fellowship. We're going to serve a meal. I show up and I get blessed by it. Because they're passionate about it. Every time we do a neighbor's dinner, I don't have to worry about cups, drinks. Margaret, she's passionate. I got it. Every church picnic, I got it. I never, ever have to worry about the, we have needs in our body that we can function even better if everybody has a part. Do you know God's called you to serve? Do you know all believers should be serving in some way? In our community, in our, we have big visions for what this church can do and what this church can be. And big visions don't mean big numbers and big money. They mean big dreams and passion. That's what we have. I believe God has protected our church, has kept us hidden for a reason. He's kept you hidden for a reason. He has created an unnatural atmosphere of peace and unity and genuine love in this body of believers. Everyone that visits this church, it's the same thing. As soon as I walked in, I felt the love. I felt accepted. It's not a show. We've been through deep waters together, haven't we? We've been through some stuff and some loss. You've been through some loss. We've been through some loss. You've been through trouble in your marriages, with your kids. You've been through life, but God has knit our hearts together. Now, God wants us to do something about that, and I just want to share our hearts with you, because sometimes you may be looking at us like, you know, come on, let's do. And I'm not interested in activity and in us having things to do. I'm interested in us being impactful for the kingdom of God. Impactful. I want us to impart and impact his presence. So I want you to pray about where God would have you serve. Does this make sense? I want you to pray about what your part in this body is. And if you don't know what that is, talk to us. We have needs. We need people to do very simple things on Sundays. If you feel passionate about working with our kids, and we had a youth group of like 30 some kids. They all graduated and got married and went away, and we had this huge gap. We got kids coming up. Okay, and they're going to get out of Miss Sherry's class, and we have a handful right now that are ready for youth ministry again. So we need to know where God wants you to serve. It is such an honor and a joy to serve him, and we find fulfillment in that. Is this okay to just talk like this? Because that's where we're at. That's where we're at. We're here, and God wants you to plug into what? Intercessory prayer is another one. This prayer loft. Somebody needs to get a vision for this space that God has blessed us with. And just pray and ask him. There is so much creativity in God because he releases it and sprinkles it in all of us. But it does no good if you don't know what he's anointed you to do. Chuck, I'm not anointed to do the same thing you are. But when you're doing it and I'm doing it and you're doing it and we're all doing it, then the body of Christ is strong and it's strengthened and we find our purpose and we find our joy. Does that make sense? Yes.
Those eight things, those talents, the five talents, the two talents, and the one talent, they all equal the same amount of value. 75, 75, 75, 75, 75, 75. They always just some had the ability to do more of the things. And I'm not asking you to do something you don't have, but nobody had zero responsibility. Let me close it up with this. Somebody needs who you are right now, but somebody is going to need who you're going to be. Did you get that? Somebody needs who this church is right now. Somebody else needs who this church is going to be. Our only outreach cannot be the fourth Sunday. There will be times that if our goal is souls, then we need to do more of what we're doing to get those souls. Things will increase. These doors will be open more than once a week. I'm just telling you, there is somebody who needs who we're going to be. Amen. Well, Christine went long this morning, so I apologize for that. That was an anointed 2 minutes. The anointing makes things go a little further than you thought. But that was good. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. David and Jessica, just stand up. I can't take it. My heart is beating out of my chest. Would some people come around them? Not to single you all out, but I'm going to tell you. Whew. I just feel like we just need to come around you guys. Not because you're in trouble, because there is great potential and anointing on your lives that I just feel inside the enemy is trying to come at it. Trying to come at it from every angle. And we're going to stand around you. Am I right this morning? Okay. We're going to come at it from every angle this morning. We are going to stand around you. Every distraction, everything that has told you anything contrary, it's because there's such a powerful seed inside of you that's trying. The devil's trying to trample it out. So we're going to pray today over you. Would you just lay hands on them? In the name of Jesus, we just pray on this anointed couple of God, Lord. Lord, we know that there's been good seed in this soil, and I just feel like the enemy is just coming at every turn to pluck it out, to cause distress and to cause anxiety and fear and whatever else, God. But we just say in the name of Jesus that your will prevail in this couple. You will give them strength and patience and stamina to withhold. Help them to recognize these little piddly things that keep coming at them are a distraction from the great anointing that you have on their lives. I pray that you would open their eyes to it, that it is not just life coming at them, but it is a direct attack of the enemy. And we as a body come around them and we say, we will lift them up. We will lift them up to the throne where you protect them and where you give them vision and where you release into them their true calling and their true purpose. We say no to everything that would invite its way into this home, into their hearts, into their minds, to try to discourage, to try to distract, to try to pull away from the call that you have on their lives. And God, I pray that they would feel your presence, and that they would press into your word, because that's what's going to even it all out, is the truth. The truth will bring order. The truth will bring peace. The truth will bring correct vision. We love this family, and we believe you've got great things for this body through these people, so we are vested. We need what they've got. So I pray that you would heal every part of them that needs healing, strengthen every part that is weak, and release their gifts in the name of Jesus. Let them see it clearly, God, and let them be excited. Let them be fruitful for the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
The Bible says stir up the gift. I think that's stirring it up right there. It's all, Christine, you didn't just create a gift inside of them. That was already there. You just stirred it up. Others of you, if God has something burning in on the inside of you, I'm asking for that to be stirred up. You can come talk to me and Christine about it. But let me just preface it with this. Gone are the days of coming to me with a report of what I need to do. That's how it used to be. My dad was a preacher. Everybody would come to him, well, preacher, you need to do this. You know what I wish he would have said? Then you need to give me a raise. They didn't do that. It just kept piling on and piling on and piling on until my dad died. How about that? I want to be strong where God called me to be. That's what I'm saying. It's not that I'm refusing to do more. I want to do more where God has called me. The Bible calls it flourishing where you're planted. Amen? All right. I love you guys. Hey, we're going to have, when is Memorial Day? When is that? Fourth Sunday. The next fourth Sunday.